Morning.
Morning.
Am I on? Yeah? Yeah. How are you? You all right? Praise the Lord. Amen. We inducted Pastor Paul Cornish yesterday in Hawera, so they've got a new pastor there now. And Pastor Paul and his wife were here for almost 2 years, and they're there now. And we had a great time. We did a wedding on the day before on Friday night. So most of you don't know, Gareth Smith is now married. Hallelujah. But some of you don't know him, but he's a part of our church. He lives in Palmerston North at the moment doing a degree. And but he's just got married on Friday. A lovely young lady. Praise God. Afia and I were in Malaysia to speak at a conference about 2 weeks ago, and that was great. We flew into Singapore, went across the border, only a drive of about 30 minutes from the Singapore airport. So went through the border control of Singapore and Malaysia and had the conference at the Grand Paragon Hotel. About 1,000 people were there, speakers from different parts of the place, the Asia-Pacific region, at 6 speakers, and one of them did not come because he was ill. But 20 nations were represented at the conference, people from Portugal, Germany, and different parts of Europe, the United States, and Australia, New Zealand, and, of course, from Asia. And that was really, really great. And I bring greetings from Paul and Christine Ang, who were the hosts of the conference, and we had a great time. Hallelujah. We ate more ducks than anything else. They're very hospitable to us. And every time they take us out, they say, what do you want to eat? I said, I want to eat a duck. So the population of the ducks went down considerably during the time that we were there. And I think they had a celebration when we left. After the conference, we started the conference on Wednesday night. And we finished our speaking engagements on Friday night. And they didn't put my photo and profile on the brochures because they said it came late. And so, but I spoke more time than all the people in the brochures. Well, that was good. Do you want to say something? All right. And they were very kind to us. And on Friday, we finished. And then Saturday, one of the pastors drove us to Kuala Lumpur, about 4 hours away. And we ministered on Saturday night and Sunday morning. And Sunday morning, ministered twice Sunday morning and had a sleep on Monday and then came back on Tuesday, arrived here on Wednesday night. Went to Napier to do a graduation of the Bible College there and came back to do our last Samoan service last Sunday and our AGM on Sunday night. Went to Auckland and came back, did the wedding, went to Hawera and did the induction, and now we're here. Praise God. What were you doing? Hallelujah. But one of the things we on our last evening at the conference, we were sitting in the foyer. We're looking out this part of the hotel, and is the escalator going down, the lifts up here, and the conference room is right in front of us. We were just sitting in the nice couches waiting for the conference to start. Many people were going in and some were coming out. And this very tall Caucasian gentleman came out, and he looked at me, turned right, went into the ablution block. Then he came back from the ablution block and turned to me again. And I was sitting over there, and he looked at me, and at the top of his voice said this: you may be a son of God, maybe a man of God, but I would not say that you're a man of power. It's a nice thing to say to a speaker at the conference. And then he went downstairs in the escalator, and I was thinking about that, and I went inside, and I spoke, and I just felt to start with what he said. And I said, well, a gentleman just came outside, and I don't know his name, but he said to me, you may be a man of God, but you're not a man of power. And then I said something, and I said, Jesus is not a man of power. When Jesus came to Capernaum, he could not do any miracles. Why? He's the most powerful man on the earth. And yet when he came to this place, he could not even move. Why? Because the power of God is in the gospel, and the power of God is only to those who believe. Unless you believe the Bible, this book will do you no good. Unless you believe in the finished work of the cross, it'll benefit you nothing. Not now, not in all eternity. It will benefit you absolutely nothing. Because it's according to how you perceive the scriptures. Now, many times we think, well, Jesus was noticeable. Jesus was not noticeable. In fact, if Jesus stood in a crowd of 50, you would not even know who he was. How do I know that? When they came to arrest him, Judas had to point him out. Why? Because they did not know. He didn't stand out. And Isaiah said, when you look at him and perceive, it doesn't even look like it's somebody that you're going to like. Why? Because Jesus was as ordinary as you and I. But when you trust him as the Son of God, when the Bible says Emmanuel, it doesn't mean God for us. Emmanuel means God is with us. And when he's with us, he's just one of us. And it's very difficult to identify Jesus in a crowd. Now, at the Garden of Gethsemane, there were only a few disciples and Jesus, and yet he had to be pointed out, this is the one. Are you all right? Now, when you perceive God as God, and he is God, when you perceive Jesus as God, see, one of the things that's very difficult many times in our society, it's we can celebrate God, but it's very difficult to celebrate Jesus. You know what? Jesus is God. And you can have a prayer breakfast in the U.S. and all the ministers and all the other people can come, and we can say, well, we welcome you in God's name. But the moment you say, we welcome you in Jesus' name, it just cuts something right through. Because right there and then, it differentiates those that belong to him and those that don't belong to him, even though they may believe in a God. Are you all right? Now, God has a name. See, a lot of people say, well, the God of the Muslims is the same God is Allah. Allah is a title. But Allah in the Muslim had no son. The Muslim believe in Jesus, the prophet. But they don't believe in Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus is not a prophet. And well, not just a prophet. Jesus is more than a prophet. Jesus is not a Baptist. He's more than a Baptist. Jesus is not Anglican. He's more than Anglican. Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus is God. All right? Hello? Are you okay? A lot of people said, well, if Jesus is the Son of God, then that means he had a beginning. No, he didn't. If God is eternal, his Son is eternal. If I'm Samoan, my Son is Samoan. If God is God, his Son is God. If a lion is a lion, his Son is a lion. Huh? So the Son of God is God. Are you all right? I'm just trying to fiddle with your head. And I said, I really felt to start what I said with what that gentleman said to me. And I said, unless you believe somebody, hallelujah, unless you believe the gospel, the power of the gospel is to those that believe, to the Jews and then the Greeks, according to the Bible. If you don't believe that, now, you go to the Wailing Wall, there are Jews there. Genuinely believe in God, but don't believe in Jesus. And they are praying for the Messiah to come, and they are praying. And he wants to say, hey, he's already come. But why could not the Messiah perform the miracles to the very one he was sent to? Because they did not believe in him and they rejected him. And because of that, he could not do any mighty works. Why? Because it's determined whether we believe him or not. I said to the conference, if you don't believe my ministry, you will get absolutely nothing out of it. You might as well go have a shower, hop in your car or hop in your plane and go back to where you came from, because I can do you no good. But if you believe, you know what the Bible says? If you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you will get a prophet's reward. If you don't believe that, if you think that I'm just a Samoan kid down the road, you're very, very stupid. Hallelujah. Now, we have biases like that because a lot of us, well, who is a man of God? And then an Indian turns up. Now, if you don't like Indians, you'll get nothing out of that man. But the amazing thing about God, if you kill that Indian, God will send another man. Guess what he sends? Another Indian. You shoot that one, he'll send another one. Guess what happens? Sends another Indian. He'll keep on sending the same person until the day you say, blessed is he who comes in the name. And when you say that, everything that that man brings becomes yours. And I said, if you don't believe that I'm a man of God, if you don't think I've got no power, well, bless your darling heart. Neither did Jesus until somebody believed in him. Now, this is the amazing thing about God. The moment you believe, it doesn't matter who you are. Baptist, Catholic, Assembly of God, Anglican, white, green, black, or blue, academic or not, the moment you believe, whosoever believeth shall not. And the moment you believe, heaven will fall on you. Now, one day, a woman who's got a scarlet reputation, that five husbands, now living with a man, no longer care, now living, just living together, comes to the well and met this man and talking to her, because he's just a normal guy. She said, I perceive you're a prophet. The moment she said that, heaven fell on her. And she went out to the village and said, come and see a man who's told me everything I've ever done. Hallelujah. And when you perceive something in someone, when you see God and perceive that, let me ask you a question. If you don't believe in tongues, you don't perceive tongues for today, guess what? You will never, ever, 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 ever get it. Never. You say, well, what does it happen to me? Because you don't believe. Huh? Now, there are whole millions of Christians who are going to heaven, be your neighbors in heaven, that will never speak in tongues because they perceive it's not for today. Are you okay? And it has to do, you know what Jesus said? According to your faith, be it done unto you. Hallelujah. Are you okay? And I spoke with Pastor Paul Ung. And I said, he said, that was amazing. I said, did you like it? He said, did I like it? I was the first one at the altar call. And he said, I'm glad you started that way, because I really believe that people in the conference needed to hear what you say. You don't have to go to a guru to find God. You can find God under a tree. Your name doesn't have to be Nathaniel or Bartholomew. You can just find God under any tree if your heart is set to find Him. Hallelujah. My Bible is not a different Bible than yours. Exactly the same Bible. There's no revival in this Bible. But there is. But it's not a special Bible. The same Bible is what you've got. Are you okay? Hallelujah. If you don't believe in healing, then you'll never get healed. But you will go to the doctor. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I think you should go to the doctor. The doctor believes in healing. God believes in healing. Hallelujah. But a lot of people that don't believe in the healing power of God, go find a doctor. Well, you'll be outside of God's will if you don't believe that God heals. I'm just throwing stuff at you. Just like when I said this morning, the only person that chose to die was Jesus. And he said, what? What? And the reason I said about the suicide bomber is just to decorate your head so that you can understand what I said. Because the only person who ever chose to die is Jesus Christ. You don't choose to die. You're going to die anyway. You've got no choice about the matter. You're going to die. Whether you get shot or die of sickness, you're still going to die. But Jesus did not have to die. He chose to die. And the only person that ever chose to die was Jesus Christ. The suicide bomber chose the time that he dies, but he's dead anyway. Hello? Are you okay? But don't go to sleep on me. Hallelujah. And the last time we shared together, we talk about the benefits of this word, the word of God, where Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone. Man does not live by rice alone. Man does not live by taro alone. Man does not live by steak alone. Man does not live by KFC alone. If all you have is KFC and steak and roast and potatoes and peas, you are half dead. Because you don't just live by that. Man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the word of God is needed by every human being, because you are created in the image of God. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Praise God. We shared on that. And part of the benefits of the word of God, the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget none of his benefits, who forgiveth half my sicknesses or half my sins. Well, if he forgives all your sins, then he does. And heal all my diseases, who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies my mouth with good things, that my strength is renewed like the eagle. Your strength is renewed according to the satisfaction of your mouth. The trouble is your mouth is not satisfied with good things. Your mouth is satisfied with bad things. And your strength is not renewed because your mouth is not doing what it's supposed to be doing. Be satisfied, be filled with good things. Hello? A lot of people say, well, I'm bored with God. Bored. Have you ever been to the Grand Canyon? Have you looked up in the stars? Have you explored the stars? Well, God made that in his breath. Just as a passing thing. And you tell me you're bored? What's wrong with you? You need to get into the Word of God and dig out of the Word of God the treasures that are there. And once you discover them, hallelujah, it will be honey to you. It's like honey on the rock, sweet honey on the... He tastes like honey in the rock. Hallelujah. And the Bible says about healing that if you will keep the word of God, if you will incline your ear to his word, the Bible says it is life to those that find life. It's life to those that find it. But you have to find it. It's life to those that find it, and health to all their, talk to me, health to all their flesh. It's life and health. Obviously, well, it's life. I'd rather go see Skyfall. Skyfall is a movie, it's rubbish. And you get excited about Skyfall. Skyfall? Have you ever seen the Skyfall? And you get so excited about this toy world, and you never entered the real stuff. Because if you did, hello? You'll be happy scared. You'll be so happy and scare you spitless. Hallelujah. Because that's the way God is. Now, let me say this, and you can write it down. Enjoy life. God wants you to enjoy life. But God wants you to enjoy life and fear Him at the same time. You're not supposed to be grumpy and go through life gloomy. You're supposed to enjoy. Enjoy life, but revere God. Enjoy life, revere God. So we talk about health as a benefit of the Word of God. I want to talk this morning on overcoming sin by the Word of God. Have a look at Psalm 119 and verse 11. Are you okay? Hallelujah. And it'll be a real blessing to you. Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Your word, where do you hide the word? In your heart, not in the closet, not in the book. You take the word out of the book and write the word of God in the table of your heart. Hallelujah. He says, your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Hallelujah. Your word. Where is it hidden? In your heart. If you leave the word of God in the book, it will help you nothing. It will not help you at all. It's still the word of God, but it has to be in your heart for the word of God to benefit you. Now, James said this, be doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. The devil does not have to deceive you. If you all you have is the word of God and you don't do it, you are already deceived. The devil does not have to deceive you. Be doer of the word. You practice the word in your everyday life. You practice the word. You take the word of God and you use the word of God against the circumstances of life. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Now, if the Bible tells you to give, then what do you do? You give. Because the more you give, the more you receive. Now, you don't give to receive. You just give to obey. But it doesn't matter how much you give. God is a far greater giver than you. And as you give, God will give to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But if your motive is to give to get, that is the wrong motive. You just give because you're practicing the word of God. Why do you come to church? You come to church to practice the word of God. Forsake not the assembly together of the brethren, especially as you see the day approaching. You come to church because the Bible says, don't forsake getting together. Hallelujah. The three wise men came from about 600 miles to find where God was to worship Him. We don't even get down the road 6 minutes to worship God. If men come 600 miles on camels and horses and it's rough terrain, have you tried riding a horse for 600 miles? Well, those guys came 600 miles to worship. We can't even get into a Ford then drive 2 minutes to church to worship. Why do you come to worship? Because you're practicing the Word of God. And if you don't get to worship, you will end up being a critic of the church and not being a blessing to the church. It's about time people begin to be contributors instead of just taking. We need to contribute something because God says to give and God says don't forsake the assembly. What is that? You are practicing the word of God. You're putting it to practice. It's no good to you if you don't practice the word of God. Hello? Hallelujah. You need to take the Word of God and use the Word of God in your everyday life. You don't just fix a car. You take out the manual and you read the manual and then you fix it. If you just fix the car without the manual, the owner's manual and the manufacturer's manual, you're going to wreck the car. Hello? Now many of us know how to look after our cars, but we don't know how to look after our hearts. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart are the issues of life. Who guards your heart? You do. There are many things that will offend us. I may offend people, but I'm not responsible for your... I may be the offender, but I'm not the responsible for your heart. You still have to be responsible for your heart. You may offend me, but I have to be responsible for my heart. Not you. God may allow you to offend me. He allowed Shimei to offend David. And they said, shall I cut his head off? And they said, no. God has allowed him to do that. And sometimes God may allow somebody to offend you to test your heart. But it's up to you to guard your heart. Why? Because you have to practice the Bible. Hallelujah. I don't come to church for your benefit. Well, I do. But I also come to church for my benefit, but I also come to church for, because I need to obey the word of God. I give. I give because it's a lifestyle to me. My children have seen that. My children love to give. They're generous at heart. Why? They see their mom and dad do it. The wedding for my younger son, and I went to pay for the wedding. And the restaurant owner said, it's already paid for. I said, who paid for it? His older brother paid for his brother's wedding. I said, well, that's great. Wouldn't you like your son to pay for his brother's wedding? Hello? You practice the word of God. Be a doer of the word. Don't just read them. Hello? Hallelujah. Say amen. Are you okay? I'm not angry. My grandson, when he was young, he could hardly pronounce words. Or when he's excited, he said, Papa, I'm decided. And sometimes I get decided. Have a look at Psalm 17. It'll be a real blessing to you. Psalm 17. Just talking on How do you overcome sin and temptation? And you practice the Bible, practice the Word of God. Verse 4. Concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept me away from the paths of the destroyer. Concerning the work of men, concerning what men do, concerning what people do, it says, concerning the works of men, hallelujah, by the word of your lips, I keep me away from the paths of the destroyer. Now, some people, you can't keep, I mean, you wonder, you know, you say, what's wrong with, can't you see? Because some people, you try to keep them away from the paths of the destroyer, they stand right in the middle of the path of the destroyer. And they think they're clever. Said, don't do that. I said, well, I like doing this. Have you ever stood in the middle of a train track and the train's coming? You try, I try telling some young people, now this is not a slur on the young people, because a lot of times young people see the older people do it. You want to say, can't you see? What's wrong with you? Can't you see you're standing right in the path of destruction? And he tries to tell them, they think they're cleverer than God. Huh? You know what the Bible says? Blessed is the man who walketh not in the way of, nor standeth in the way of, nor sitteth in the seat of the. Now some people just walk in and say, you can get out of the way. And they jump. And they wonder why they get into trouble. They can't keep away from the path of the destroyer. They are attracted to the path of the destroyer. And then they stand. They start walking. Then they stand. And in the end, they sit down. They sit down in the seat of the scornful. And people just scorn. They mock. And there are groupings. You know, you got this group mocking that group. And they're not the in group. And they're just mocking. Why? Because you are right in the path of the destroyer, but you did not see it. How do you keep out of the path of the destroyer? By the word of God. Application. By the practice and the application of the word of God. You know what the Bible says? Bad company corrupts good morals. Company. Bad company. Some of your company. Well, he's my friend. Get out of that friend. He will kill you. Why? Because bad company will corrupt you. That's in the Bible. So get out of the company that's bad. Young lass leads worship in the church. Goes to Otago University. Went to a party. Spirit-filled girl, goes to church, leads worship, went to a party, got drunk. Atmospheres can seduce you. More Christians backslide at Christmas than at any other time. Why? Because at Christmas, you have a good time, and you just stand right in the path of the destroyer. There are so many parties going on. Some of them you should not go to, but your friends go to it. Bad company corrupts good morals. She goes to the party, got drunk, wake up in the morning in somebody's bed. She's naked, and there's a naked guy beside her. Never got a degree. Came home with a baby. Did she go to get a baby? No. What happens? Bad company corrupts good morals. Practice the Bible. By the words of your lips, I keep me away from the path of the destroyer. Some people just stand right there with their eyes wide shut. And they wonder why they get into trouble. Why? You take the Word of God and you use the Word of God to keep yourself out of the path of the destroyer. Now, in the Bible it says, thou shalt not kill. So you know right there you shouldn't do it. But what about smoking? There's no way in the Bible says thou shalt not smoke. And I've had conversation with well-meaning people. Well, you know, the Bible says it's what comes from within you that corrupts you, not what comes out of you. What goes in and the smoke goes in. I said, well, keep it in. Don't bring it out again. If what comes out corrupts you, not what goes in, keep it in. Don't blow it out again. Now, how do you handle smoking? Is there a scripture that tells you not to smoke? Because one, you smoke grace. You know, people know what grace is. It's not C-E, it's G-R-E-Y-S, and you roll it. And then you get promoted to Rothmans. And then after that, you get promoted to Van Hazek cigars. And then after that, you get promoted to marijuana. Hello? And then you get high and run into the Most High. Hello? How do you handle what the Bible does not declare word upon word and line upon line? By practicing the Word of God in things concerning the works of men, concerning what men do, by the words of your lips, I keep me out of the path, concerning what men do. What do men do? Well, men smoke, men get drunk. Hello? Men take drugs. Are you okay? How do you handle stuff that's not mentioned in the Bible? Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. How do you handle that? Well, have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll give you some practical advice, and then we'll see you tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink. Now, what do men do? They eat and drink. And they do that more often than anything else. They eat and drink. It doesn't matter what color you're in, you will eat and drink. Doesn't matter what condition you're in, you'll eat and drink. So it says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do. Whatever you do means whatever you do. Whatever you do. You gossip, whatever you do. You run somebody down, whatever you do. All right? Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, it says, do all to the glory of God. If you don't know, if the Bible does not say specifically, whatever you do concerning the works of men, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Even eating and drinking a glass of water, something that you do day in and day out, over and over again, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And then it says, give no offense, either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church. Now, there are only three groups of people on the planet. Outside that, there's nobody else. There's the Jews, the Greeks, and the church. The Greeks is anybody that is non-Jew. The Jew are the Jews. The Greeks is anybody non-Jewish. And the church, that is people who are sanctified by Christ's blood, whether they are Jew or Greek, whether they're black or white, they are in the church. And when you find out this is Jews, Greeks, and the church, outside that, there's nobody. Everybody is either a Jew or a Greek or in the church. And it says, while you're eating and drinking and doing whatsoever you're doing, do it to the glory of God. But while you're doing it, don't offend the Jews and don't offend the Greeks and don't offend the church. Guess what? If I drink a bottle of beer right now, I'll offend every one of you. Why? Because, well, he's a pastor. What's wrong with it? So what do? I don't do it. Why? Because it doesn't glorify God and it also offends you. Some people say, well, it's my right. You offend everybody doing your right. Can I have a tattoo? Well, does it offend anybody? Does it glorify God? If it does, do it. If it's not, don't. Very simple. Concerning the works of men, by the words of your lips, I keep me away. Pastor Andrew said, our trouble, we find here's a chasm that you've fallen and you walk right at the edge. He said, go back. Be as far back from the path of the destroyer. Be as far back as you can. That's good preaching. Colossians 3, and then we finish. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can get drunk in Jesus' name, guess what? Go right ahead. Get drunk. If you can get drunk in the name of Jesus Christ to the glory of God the Father and offend nobody, go right ahead. But if you know you can't do it in all consciousness, then don't do it. Hallelujah. Are you all right? It says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. If you can do it in Jesus' name to the glory of God, said, Father, I thank you, then go right ahead. But if you know you can't, then let us be doers of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving ourselves.